Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com, or you can head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This week, one of our pastors, Clay, is talking about how embracing, affirming, and mobilizing the phase that our kids are in can impact them not just today, but forever. Enjoy the message.
Hello, Rock Church. How are we doing today? Awesome, awesome. I am so excited to be able to hang out with each and every single one of you. And if you don't know who I am, my name is Clay, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And thank you. I specifically work with our This Gen team and our Coastal Campus. I'm just so excited to be able to hang here with anybody that's here in person. But I'm also really thankful to hang out today with anybody that's joining us online at C3, at J. Rubin, at Vegas, at Coastal, at Ander, wherever you may be at. Thank you so much for being here today. And let's give it up for all those people real quick. It's great having you guys with us. It's going to be a great day together. And I'm also really thankful for anybody that's joining us for the very first time. I know that there's a lot that you could be doing today. So the fact that you are hanging out with us today and we get to spend this time together, it just means the world to us. So as you heard earlier, please stop by the Connect Corner. Or if you're at one of our other campuses, stop by your Connect Corner or your host, as we would love to talk to you, get to know you, and also just give you a gift for being here as well. Just as one more way of saying thank you. You for being here. And you're really coming at a perfect time. We wrapped up our At the Movie series last week. Did you guys like that series? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And next week, like you heard earlier, we are launching into kind of our fall kickoff series as that season comes up. And we're really, really excited about what God is going to do. But in the meantime, this week, we are doing a one-off theme called It's Just a Phase. And we all understand the phases of life, and we especially see that with kids and students. If you think about it, the phases a kid goes through, you start with the baby phase, right? And it's the phase where they're cute, and then all of a sudden they're crying, and they're crying, and they're crying, and it's the phase where they never sleep, so it's the phase where you never sleep. Anybody ever been in that phase? Yeah, you guys understand that. And then a couple of years later, they morph into the second phase of life, which is the two-year-old phase, which quickly turns into the terrible twos, where things are all good, you're walking down the Target aisle, everything's happy, and then you drop their bouncy ball. And all of a sudden, the entire rest of the store hears, ah! Right? And a few years after that, we hit the first grade phase where they start asking the question, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Why does this work that way? Why does this look this way? And you're like, why are you asking all these questions? Why do you have to be in this phase? Why do you have to be like this? Why can't you be done with this phase? And it's just this phase where it's the question why. And then somehow, over the next few years, you enter the fourth grade phase, which somehow in those 3 years, they learned all the answers to the question why, and they act like they know everything. And they will let you know that they know everything. And then when you do something wrong, they'll let you know. But what's even worse than that is when you're out in public with your fourth grader and you make a mistake, or someone mentions a bad story, and they go, hey, guess what my mom did last week? And you're like, no. And then a few years after that, we have the middle school phase, which I affectionately like to call the smelliest of all phases. And I love our middle schools. They are great. But man, summertime's over at C3 on Thursday nights, it can get pretty smelly pretty quickly, all right? And then a few years after that, we enter the high school phase, which is the phase where they show up at home, they grab some food, then they go upstairs to their room, and you wonder if you'll ever see them ever again, because they just disappear, right? It's this phase that they go through. And when I think about all these different phases, I go, man, we just kind of say, hey, it's just a phase, so let's get through it. Let's just get past this moment. Let's get past this season. The phase will go away at some point. But then I started thinking about that a little bit further, and we kind of do that with pretty much every single phase a kid goes through. A student goes through, a person goes through, which then leads me to the question is, what is the most important phase of someone's life? Now, I would say the most important phase of someone's life is the phase they are in right now. And the way I would define phase, and it's been defined by some great people this way, is a phase is defined as a time frame in a person's life when you can leverage distinctive opportunities to influence their future. There is an incredible opportunity today to help this generation know that they matter to God. But there's an issue that there's too many people, too many kids, too many students that never come to that realization, which means that it's up to us as leaders, up to us as people who care about other people, to do everything we can to help people know that they matter to God. It's a tremendous opportunity, but it's also a tremendous responsibility, and I believe it's a responsibility given to all of us. Proverbs 22 talks about how we should train up a child. And I think everyone has some sort of influence over children, over kids, over students, and even over people. We can extend it out that far as well. So if you guys would do me a favor, we'll do this here in common, but we'll also do this at all of our other campuses. Please participate there as well. And if you are a parent in here, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, awesome. Awesome. Now keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. If you are a grandparent, go ahead and raise your hand. Keep your hands. Everybody keep your hands raised if you have them raised. If you are a aunt or uncle, go ahead and raise your hand. If you are a teacher, coach, or volunteer with kids or students, go ahead and raise your hand. If you are someone who has friends, if you're a high schooler, go ahead and raise your hand. And if we begin to look around the room, we will see that everybody in some form pretty much has a way they can influence this gen. So it's our responsibility to influence them, to help them know that they matter to God. And I think this is a prime time to do this because school is going back into session. Summertime went by probably too quick for a lot of you. But I always love the start of the school year once again because it kind of feels like New Year's in the fall. It's a perfect time to reset yourself and center on God and really set the tone for the entire school year. So I believe that today is going to be an incredible day for all of us. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're an aunt, uncle, a neighbor, a coach, teacher, volunteer, whether you are just a friend of someone in this gen, if you're a high school or middle school, this is going to be impactful today because I believe that what we're going to learn today is a game changer because every single kid, every single person, every single student is in a phase right now. And here is why it's so important to not miss it. We think we have all the time in the world to influence people in the phase they are in right now. But that's not the case. Those phases go by really, really quickly. And to show that, we have these gumballs over here. And I'm excited about this example because, you know, we look at the time frame in a kid's and a student's and a person's lifetime, and we go, man, we have so much time. 18 years is a long time between birth and graduation. But when you start to break that into weeks, you start to break that into weeks by year, you start to bring that into even smaller segments than that, all of a sudden those weeks go by really, really quickly. Over there on the far right, we have those green gumballs. And those green gumballs, they represent the time frame between the time a kid is born and the day they graduate high school. And there are 936 gumballs that represents the weeks of the year. The next one is going into kindergarten, and with going into kindergarten, we suddenly drop down to 676 weeks between kindergarten and graduation of high school. After that, we have going into middle school, and our number for that is 364 weeks between sixth grade and graduation. After that, we have going into freshman year, and we suddenly have 208 weeks between freshman year and graduation. And then seniors, we got 52 weeks left. And all of a sudden, that number is at zero. And I know you might be a parent or a leader of some sort of this gen, and you might be going, man, like, I didn't like to hear that statistic. That wasn't very fun. But that's why it's so critical, why it's so important to influence this gen in the phase they are in right now. Because chances are, it's going by way quicker than you realize. And with that, I think you might be saying, but Clay, the phase they are in right now, it's so tough, it's so bad, it's so, like, not good, and I'm really fighting against it right now. But here's the secret about that phase. You went through that same exact phase when you were their age. And chances are, when you were their age, you needed someone to guide you, you needed someone to direct you, you needed someone to lead you so that you could be a better person, so you could be a better spiritual person. You could take steps forward in life. And I'm going to challenge you, be the somebody that you needed when you were in that phase. Be the parent you needed. Be the grandparent you needed. Be the coach. Be the leader. Be the teacher that you needed when you were in those phases. And what we are going to do today is we are going to talk about four simple things that you can do to best influence students in the phase that they are in so that they can know that they matter to God. Four simple things. And I really do believe these four things will be beneficial to everybody. They'll be beneficial for the kid you lead's life. It'll be beneficial for your life. It'll be beneficial for your friend's life, your coworker's life, your neighbor's life. And the reason why I believe these are going to be beneficial is because every single person is in a phase, no matter what age they are. And if that's the case, then we need to do everything we can to influence those phases. And Jesus, he set a great example, which is, I know is a big shocker that Jesus did something really good and we can learn from it. So we're going to dive into scripture today, Mark chapter 10. And the first thing that we need to do to influence phases and not miss it is embrace the phase. And this comes in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and 14 to start today. It says, one day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Now, I try to picture this scripture for a second in my day when I was reading it. And I was like, man, there's this picture-perfect moment where the parents bring their children to Jesus. Everyone's all happy. Everything's serene. It's very Instagram-worthy. It's fantastic. You could put it on Facebook. It's this massively great moment for like 5 minutes. And after like 5 minutes of parents bringing their kids, all of a sudden it turned into mayhem. You know, you have third graders running around tackling each other. You have two-year-olds screaming. You have a baby blowout situation. And like all of a sudden you realize, well, it's back then, so there's no iPads to give out to people to distract them. We're in a really bad spot. And then all of a sudden the disciples are scolding the parents. And they're saying, hey, don't do this. You shouldn't have brought them. You need to wait your turn. You're causing a distraction. And it's funny how the Bible was written so long ago. Yet the problems that they're going through are the same problems that happen today, where people push families, they push kids, they push students away and say, hey, you need to wait your turn. You're causing a disruption right now. But if I'm being honest, I can't really blame the disciples here, because I probably would have made the same mistake. I would have looked at that elementary kid, and this would be a character flaw of me, but I would have looked at that elementary kid and said, hey, I'm sorry, but Jesus doesn't care about Doc McStuffins and the Paw Patrol, all right? Like, I'm sorry, he doesn't want to hear about it. And then I would look over to the middle schooler and I'd say, hey, I'm sorry, but Jesus does not want to hear how you and your boyfriend broke up for the 42nd time since sixth grade and you guys are only in seventh grade. Like, he just doesn't care. And I'd look over the high school and say, I'm sorry, but Jesus doesn't care about Luke P. and Tyler C. on The Bachelorette. Like, he just doesn't care about it at all. But that's where I would be wrong. Jesus does care because he cares about people. Which is why if you're a parent, bring your children to Jesus. If you are a coach, bring your children to Jesus. If you're a grandparent, bring your grandkids to Jesus. Whether that phase is good, whether that phase is bad, it doesn't matter because Jesus can change their life. And what Jesus was doing right here is he was fighting against what we fight against so often here at this church. He's fighting against this idea of next generation, saying, the disciples saying, hey, you're next. Wait, wait, wait. And Jesus said, no. Come to me right now. Be with me today. I want to embrace you in the phase that you are in right now. Jesus, he doesn't miss the opportunity to embrace them in the phase they are in right now. And one of the tricks with that, though, is the parents had to bring them. The parents had to bring the children to Jesus. And let me challenge you parents in here. The way you make Jesus a priority in your life will often lead to your students making the same priority in their life. And if that's the case, bring them to Jesus as often as possible. Because when you bring people to Jesus, you break the barrier of exclusion. And I think that applies to everyone. Embrace the phase your coworker's in. And bring them to Jesus, because he can change them. Embrace the phase your athlete is in, and bring them to Jesus, because Jesus can change them. Embrace the phase your grandkid is in, because Jesus can change them. And the reason bringing people to Jesus is so important is because it breaks the barrier of exclusion. And so many people just don't believe they can follow Jesus because they don't believe Jesus will embrace them. And once we break that wall down, things change because Jesus will always embrace people in the phase they are in right now. He will say, hey, come to me. I've got open arms. I am ready for you to be with me. And this scripture, it doesn't say if Jesus knew the people. It doesn't say if Jesus knew the kids. It doesn't say if he knew what phase they were in. And it doesn't matter. Jesus didn't care about any of that. He just said, hey, come to me. I want to care about you more than anything else. He didn't miss the opportunity to embrace them. And let me encourage you, just like Jesus embraced them, embrace other people, but don't forget to embrace the phase that you are in. High schoolers, I know you want to get out of high school. I know you want to go to college. I know you want to be an adult. It's a terrible decision. There's these things called bills and debt, and they're terrible. It is a disease, and there is only one vaccine, and the vaccine's name is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. That is your only chance. So don't ever leave. If you're a middle schooler, I know you want to be a high schooler, but embrace middle school because you have the opportunity to have the fun of being a kid because people are like, oh, we don't have to give them anything like super important, but you're also old enough where you can go and do things on your own. It's a great spot to be. But then also, those of you, you're saying, man, I don't like the phase I'm in at work. Man, I'm working all the time. What if you embrace the phase you're in and turned it into the greatest mission field you've ever had? See, when we start to embrace the phases that we're in, it no longer becomes a negative phase. It becomes a positive phase where we can pull something good out of it. And then once we do that, that's when we can then engage the phase, which is the second thing we need to do if we want to influence and not miss the phase. The verse 14, I'm going to read what Jesus said, and it's going to finish this way. It says, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Jesus took this opportunity to creatively intersect God's story and their story. Jesus showed those children that they were a part of something bigger. And that moment, that light bulb moment, had to change everything in those children's life. They realized that their story and God's story worked together. And there's an issue right now happening in this world where there's too many people, too many kids, too many students who never realize that their story and God's story work together. They never discover that they are part of something bigger. And that's why it's so important to engage the phase. And how you find out how your story and God's story work together is by being in his word, by being in the Bible. Because when you start to do that, what you're going to do is you are going to connect to God's story. You're going to discover how your role plays in God's story. And then you will be able to respond to it by applying it to your life. That right there, that's engaging the phase. That is being part of something. That is knowing and learning something and realizing your story and God's story intersect. And I know that could be intimidating. I know that can be a scary thing if you've never done that before. Because you're going, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to read it. I don't know where to start. Well, let me give it a really simple suggestion. Download the Rock app, hop on the reading plan, start reading that. And I promise you, it's going to be worth it. And the reason it's going to be worth it is because you will start to see God moving in your life when you're in your word. You will start to see God answering questions that you've had. You will start to see him guide you. You will start to see him lead you. You will start to see him change you. And you will start to see him call you to something more. And I think that's something every single one of us, no matter where we are, that's what we want. We want God to move in our lives. But if I had to also guess, if you're a parent, if you're a coach, if you're a grandparent, whatever your role is, you probably want that for the kid in your life as well, where you want them to see how God is moving in your life. You want to see how God is changing them. You want them to engage the phase they are in with God's story. But you play a massive, massive part in it because these gumballs, they don't just represent weeks. They represent opportunities to help your student discover God's story. what are you going to do during this week to help your student discover God's story? What are you going to do that week and 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 that week? Every single week is an opportunity to help your student engage their phase they are in and discover how their story and God's story intersect. And there's a bunch of creative ways to do this. There's a bunch of creative ways to make this happen. Let me tell you the two biggest ways here at The Rock. The first way I would say is getting on a small group team for your student. We have lots of small group teams at every age. And let me start with Kids Rock. If you have a kid that is of Kids Rock age, they need to go to Kids Rock because Kids Rock is incredible. It is amazing. It is fun. They learn a lot. But more so than anything else, they will have an adult leader in their life that will love them, that will care for them, that will creatively help them discover God's story and pour into them so that they have another adult spiritual leader in their life. It's a great spot for them to be. And I love our Kids Rock team. I think they do a phenomenal job, and your student will only benefit from going. If you have a middle schooler, we have our Thursday night small groups at C3 that I would love for a middle schooler to be a part of. If you are a high schooler in either Aynor or Conway or Caroline Forest or Georgetown, we have areas for you to get plugged in as well through our high school house groups, which are launching in just a few weeks. But then also, we have serving teams, and we're going to talk about serving teams in just a bit, but serving teams are great as well because that gets into them another adult leader in their life, because that's how we structure our serving teams. And those are two really, really big ways to get your student to engage the phase they are in and help them discover God's story. And if we do that really, really, really well, this is what will happen. We will have roughly 40 hours over the course of this year to help you engage the phase your student is in. Which, if we're looking at this chart, this was put out by Orange Conference, and this is a statistic they took from a few years ago. The average church has about 40 hours a year to influence a student's life. And this is why parents, guardians, this is why it's so important for you to step in. You have roughly about 3,000 hours. And when we're looking at this chart, what we do here, it's important. It matters. It's super beneficial. It's super helpful. But over here, that's where a big difference is made. You as a parent, you as a guardian, you are the key spiritual leader for your student. So what are you going to do during this time to influence and engage the phase your student is in? Let me give you some key ways, just because I know this chart can be a little overwhelming. I don't even know where to start. Okay, if you have a baby, baby age, preschool age, the best time for you to engage the phase they are in is during bath time. Talk truth into them, speak joy into them, love them, care for them, tell them stories, make them laugh, let them know the truths of God during bath time. Engage them then. If you have an elementary kid, the best time to engage the phase for them is during bedtime. What you can do is set up a routine where you sit down, you can talk to them about their day, you can read the Bible together, you can pray for them, and then once they fall asleep, you can actually pray over them, and that's going to make a huge impact over the course of those years. And then we have another level. If you have a middle schooler, the best way to engage the phase of a middle schooler is during drive time. Because let's be honest, if you have a middle school, you're driving them everywhere. You're driving them to school, to practice, to their friend's house, to home, back to the friend's house because you forgot the backpack, back home. Oh, you forgot to put the chicken out, so you're driving to go get something to eat, and then you're driving back home. And rather than just using that time to be frustrated and driving and like, man, I'm so annoyed with all I have to do, use that for spiritual opportunities. Or if you have a high schooler, one of the best things you can do is engage the phase they're in by using their time. You know, your high school student's going to come up to you and say, hey, can you go buy me some shoes at the Nike outlet? Well, you are either going to have to buy, you're going to buy the shoes either way. So you might as well make it spiritual, right? Like, you might as well make it positive, right? Use their time to spiritually engage them. And this is so important because when you spiritually engage people, you spiritually awaken them. So find opportunities to spiritually engage people at home, at work, at your friend's house, wherever you may be, wherever your influence is, find ways to spiritually engage them. Because once you spiritually engage them, you can start to affirm the faith. This is what Jesus does right here. He in verse 15, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Jesus right here, he affirms the phase that these children were in. He said, hey, you guys need to be more like them. And let's be honest. We all need a little bit more affirmation in our life. We all love to be affirmed. You know, if you have a baby that's crying, like, hey, it's okay. It's okay. If there's a kid, the kid is like, hey, check out this cool trick I can do. And you're like, fantastic, right? You have to support them. If you have a middle schooler, they tell you this terrible joke that's so not funny, but you have to fake laugh anyways because it's really funny to them. If you have a high schooler, they just want 4 billion likes on their Instagram post. Like, everybody wants affirmation, including you. You want to be told you're good at your job. We all want affirmation. It's part of being human. But I think students especially want affirmation. They want to be told they have worth, they want to be told they have skills, they want to be noticed. And I think part of the reason student depression and anxiety is on the rise is because they don't have enough people affirming them. And parents, this is where you can make a difference, but I would say even more so that people outside of being parents, you can make a big difference. Grandparents, you can affirm their personalities because they are going to act a certain way around you that they won't act anywhere else. If you're a coach, you have the ability to affirm their worth. They're going to expect you to affirm their talents and their skills because that's what they provide for you. But what if you affirm their worth? How much would that change for them? If you're a friend, you can affirm them by just being very loving and say, man, I just really appreciate you. If you're an aunt and uncle, you can affirm them by just noticing them, saying, hey, I saw you did this last week. That was really cool. Great job. And when you do this, you will start to really affect them because you don't only just get a chance to influence someone's life once. You only get a chance to affirm someone's life once in the phase they are in. Don't miss the phase to affirm them, because if you miss that phase, it is gone. And that's what Jesus was doing. He saw this opportunity and said, hey, you guys need to be like them. They are doing something good. They are doing something positive. He affirmed them in that moment. And with that, if we can learn from a phase, we better affirm a phase. Right? There's something good about each and every single phase. So rather than attacking a phase, we should affirm the phase. Because God created them to be in that phase right now, in this moment. That's who God created them to be. And the scary part is, while that will make a huge impact on them, if we don't affirm them, we start to say something negative, that affects them as well. Because while we have all these weeks of opportunity, if we say the wrong thing, if we say something negative, we say something hurtful, we say something we definitely shouldn't have said, we might just dump all those weeks of opportunity out. And all of a sudden, those weeks of influence that you had are now gone because some hurtful words you said in a moment. Affirm the phase they are in because it will make a huge impact in their life. And once you really affirm the phase, that's really going to help you with this next part, which is mobilize the phase. Mark 10:16 says this, then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. I don't know what Jesus prayed right here, but I just have to imagine it was a prayer of sending out. It was a prayer of, hey, you are going to go and do something. It was a prayer of, hey, you can make a difference. And part of the reason I think this is because part of a blessing in the Old Testament was the giver of the blessing would picture a special future for the receiver of the blessing. And I can only imagine Jesus saying, hey, you are going to go be leaders of your friends. You're going to be leaders of your family. You are going to make a difference. And I know I've said it from this stage 1,000 times. I know I'll say it 1,000 more times. But I truly believe this generation can change the world. They are not next. They are right now. They can make a difference today because they are skilled, because they are different, because they are talented, because they have abilities, and God has called them to do something more. He can use them to change this world. And I see that at The Rock all the time. I see this gen serving on this stage. I see this gen in the lobby serving. I see this gen hosting. I see this gen serving in Kid Rock. I see this gen in the tech booth. I see this gen serving coffee, and I love it. Because that's what mobilizing the phase is all about. Because if we don't mobilize the phase, it's just a bunch of head knowledge with no feet, and that means nothing. So this gen, if you're in here and you're not on a serving team, man, let me encourage you to serve. Because there is a spot here for you at The Rock. You are skilled, you are gifted, we believe in you, and we will find a place for you to make a difference here at this church. But I would say that to everyone. if you're in this room, if you're watching at any of our other locations, there is a spot for you to get on a team and start making a difference. You can mobilize the phase that you are in. You are skilled, you are gifted, you are talented, and you can make a difference. And I promise you, it is worth it, because when you start to mobilize the phase that you are in, you will find purpose. You will find meaning. You will find that you are called to something more. I don't think anybody just wants to go through life just existing. I don't think anybody wants to just live life just being here. No, I think people want to have a life where they're doing something that matters. And when we work for God through serving, we're doing something that matters. We need to start mobilizing that phase today, because time is running out. Now, let me speak specifically to our seniors for a second. This is all the time you got left. 52 weeks. There aren't a lot of gumballs in here. You have 52 weeks to make as much impact this school year as possible. You have 52 weeks to change your friends' lives. You have 52 weeks to help influence your community. You have 52 weeks left to influence your school, influence your teachers. What are you going to do with these 52 weeks? Because time is running out. I believe you can make a difference in these 52 weeks. But it starts with mobilizing the phase today. And I know that can be scary, and I know that can be hard, but you can do it because God has called you to it. But what might be even scarier is parents. You have 52 weeks left too. So what are you going to do with these weeks? Now, you might be saying, I have no clue what to do. And that's okay, because we are here for you. Us as a This Gen team, we are here for you. And a common misconception is that our This Gen team is only here for kids and students. But no, we are here for the entire family unit. And because of that, we have set some resources and some ways for you to get with us, and that you can have someone to connect with so you can help do the best job you can do as a parent or as a leader, as a guardian, whatever your role is. So here at the Conway campus, we have our This Gen Corner. If you ever have any questions on anything kid, student related, we are there for you. If you have any questions about family stuff, we are there for you. If you need to find out how to get on a team, if you need to figure out how to get your kid in a team, if you need to figure out how to handle a situation, or you have questions about people that might be in a similar situation as you, we are there for you to help you answer the questions that you have. And then that's here at our Conway campus, our This Gen Corner. But at our other campuses, you can do that at our Connect Corner or with your host. They would love to help you in the same exact way. But then we've gone another step further with that. We, at our This Gen Corner here in our Conway location, we have a resource wall. And that resource wall is to help you parent the best way possible. And we actually have a ton of books in our Conway location. A lot of them look like this. And we love these books. They're fantastic books. It's Parenting Your First Grader, and we have this for every single age, from baby up until 18 years old. And if you're a parent, there's an option for you to be able to go buy this and use this. It's something that a grandparent could use. I'm pretty sure a leader, a coach could use it as well. They're fantastic. It will help you understand your student in a way that you've never understood them before. And let me encourage you, make sure you get one of these. Check these out, because they will make a difference. Having those resources is huge. But you might be saying at our other campuses, what do I do? Well, that's where you can download our app, and there's a This Gen Resources tab at the very bottom of the homepage, and you'll find an Amazon link for this as well. So there's some great availability for you guys, because we want you guys to win. That's what we're all here for. We want you to win. And I believe that you will win if you embrace the phase, if you engage the phase, if you affirm the phase, and you mobilize the phase. So how do we respond to this? I would say, it's just a phase. So don't miss it. Don't miss the phase that your child is living in. Don't miss the phase your friend is living in. Don't miss the phase your coworker is in. Because each one of those weeks, they turn into history. But they also affect the future. So what do you want to do to affect the future of your child today before that week turns into history? Think about how much time you have with your child left. Think about how much time you have with your coworker, your friend. Think about how you can make a difference today. Because I don't want us to miss opportunities. I don't want us to miss the boat. I want us to do everything we can to influence the people that we have in our lives' phase right now. So maybe for you, what you need to start doing is embracing the phase that you're in and saying, hey, I love you and I care about you. maybe you need to start engaging the phase they're in and finding ways to get them connected to God's story. Maybe you need to start affirming the phase and say, hey, I really appreciate you, and I see this in you, and you are worthy, and you are loved, and you are cared about. Or maybe you need to mobilize the phase and say, hey, you've got skills. I want to see you use them for the kingdom. And by you doing that, you will not only affect them today, but you will affect them forever, and it is worth it every single time. But I don't think it just stops there. I think we can apply this to our own lives as well. Because Jesus didn't just do that for the children. He didn't just do that for other people. He did that for us as well. Maybe today, for the first time, you're realizing that Jesus is embracing you, and you're saying, man, Jesus, you actually care about me. You want a life with me. You want me to come into your arms. You want me to be with you. And maybe today, for the very first time, you decide to respond to Jesus. That's you. I encourage you during this worship set, take a moment and just pray to God and ask him to be in your life. And respond to him, say, you are my Savior. You're my King. If you have any questions, we'd love to talk in the Connect Corner after service. Maybe others of you, you're engaging the phase for the first time. You're realizing that Jesus is engaging the phase that you're in, and you're realizing your story and God's story, it's working together. And as a step of response, you're saying, man, I want to really show this, because like Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, I want to have that same thing where our stories are tied together, and you can get baptized today, and we can make that happen today. Or maybe you feel like Jesus is affirming you. And you're realizing you don't have to be defined by your sin habit. You don't have to be defined by your struggle. You don't have to be defined by that sin in your life. And you're saying, you know what? I'm done with it. Because I'm finding my worth in Jesus. I'm finding my worth in him. I am going to trust in him. And so today you're going to stop with that sin habit. Because you're realizing he cares about you. Or maybe you're realizing he's mobilizing you. He's mobilizing the phase that you're in to say, okay, today's the day. I'm going to get on a team and I'm going to start serving. Whatever our response is, whether it is towards someone else or towards ourselves, I think it's going to be huge for our life, because it's going to change our life. And it's my hope and it's my prayer that we make a decision to respond today, because it's going to turn into history. But today also affects the future. So if you guys would do me a favor, stand with me. We're going to go into a time of worship after this, and we have communion up front. We have people in the Connect Corner that would love to talk to you. We're going to be singing, so we'd love for you to join us in that as well. It's just a phase, guys, so don't miss it. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for you, and thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. You're a good God, and I'm so thankful that you embrace us, that you engage us, that you affirm us, and you mobilize us. Lord, continue to work in our lives, and Lord, help us respond today. We love you. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like information on how to give to God through the Rock Church, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All of those things are super helpful. Have a great week.